You don't have to be a machine learning engineer to help make the future a smarter place. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Trillions. I'm Joel Weber.
And I'm Eric Balchunas.
I'm really excited about today's episode, Eric. And you were the one that actually flagged it. And I was like, yeah. Oh, my God, this is going to be amazing. So we're going to talk about K-pop today.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for themes. I find them interesting. And we've done like 3 or 4 in a row that were pretty meaty. Inflation, just really topical stuff that was very practical. And so I've been eyeing this ETF with the ticker K-pop since it was filed and then it launched. And when I read the article that Isabel Lee wrote about it and found out that it was a 20-something young man who had the idea, launched the ETF, and was like some K-pop expert, I like these ETF stories. This is the sort of independent spirit of ETFs. You know, it's a tough market, but people, keep trying with ideas. And usually if you see a filing, a lot of times you pull the thread on it and there's like somebody who can really make a strong fundamental case, even if the initial reaction is, oh, really? Is this really an investment vehicle? And I find that to be true over and over. So I really just wanted to dig into the story. I also wanted to find out the numbers behind K-pop. I mean, I don't know what it is. I feel old. When I went to one of the videos, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm driving around listening to REM and Nirvana still. I don't want to be the old guy who doesn't know about this, you know, huge area, apparently. And so I wanted to explore K-pop secretly as well.
We're going to have Isabel Lee, who wrote that story for Bloomberg News. She's a cross-asset reporter, as well as Jengwan Lee, who's the brain behind the ETF K-pop. This time on Trillions, K-pop. Jengwan, Isabel, welcome to Trillions.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, Isabel, I want to start with you. How did K-pop come to your attention?
Honestly, on Twitter, I was just scrolling and I probably saw one of the Bloomberg guys. It could be Eric or Henry. I don't even remember anymore. And it was about a K-pop ETF. And it was fun. It was punchy. It was catchy. We write a lot of things in Bloomberg for many reasons. And we thought that retail traders and just Twitterverse would like this because at that time, this was in April, if approved, this K-pop ETF would be the first in Europe or US that would be investing in firms benefiting from K-pop music. So we were like, this is exciting. And to Eric's point earlier, my generation, my friends are crazy about K-pop. And I actually was personally a bit excited writing it because I thought my friends would be so jealous. They'd be so happy to hear about this K-pop. And my friends who aren't even investing, I was kind of sure they would invest just because of this K-pop ETF. So that was fun. And then I wrote a follow-up story 4 months after when the fund launched and I got to speak with Jengwan also. So that was cool. And I'm sure he can tell you more about the ETF.
Okay, Jengwan, I want to hear where this idea came from because, you know, Eric has never pitched an REM ETF. And I'm going to tell you that it probably would not go over well. But what did you see in K-pop that made you want to connect these dots?
My premise that K-pop fans may also want to invest in K-pop, I don't think this is a new idea in the investment world. Because, for example, many Tesla owners are also investors in Tesla stock. And people tend to want to invest in what they consume and believe in. The same could be said for Warren Buffett, who enjoys McDonald's and Coke on a daily basis, to my knowledge. So Korean media entertainment industry has been growing very robustly. And we believe that this is still in its early innings, given that we're witnessing an inflection point in K-pop. And we see Squid Game, we see Parasite, we see Blackpink, we see BTS. these key content, key entertainment, Korean entertainment, are gradually attaining mainstream status globally from what was more a subculture in the past. So K-pop ETF is the first of its kind, and it's the first vehicle that allows global investors to have exposure into K-pop as an industry as an investment theme. While in the past, since all the companies, listed companies within the Korean entertainment and media sector are all listed in Korean exchange, and therefore global investors had no way to gain exposure into.
Before we get into how the ETF tries to capture the K-pop factor, if you will, just let's go over the numbers. I remember reading in Isabel's article. I'll throw it to you, Isabel, because you wrote it. I'm not sure if you got the numbers from Jangwon, but the numbers were ridiculous. Like, it was, some of the comparisons blew me away. It reminded me of when I dug into the video game industry about 7-8 years ago. And it's like bigger than movies and music combined or something. And I was like, holy moly. And at the time, people were kind of laughing off the video game ETF. But I wanted to do a taste test where I took the name out and just put the numbers of the industry of robotics, cannabis, and video games and asked someone to pick what was the best investment. And they're going to pick video games. But then you show them the name and they're like, oh, I don't want to invest in that. I felt the similar vibe when I read your article. What was the, give me some of the numbers that talk about how big K-pop is.
I think South Korean music really gained popularity in 2012 when this big YouTube hit called Gangnam Style entered mainstream consciousness. And ever since then, it just became even more popular. So for instance, in February, BTS was named, I think, the global recording artist of the year. And they even beat Taylor Swift and Adele, and a girl group called Blackpink also became the first musical artist to hit a certain milestone in YouTube, I think the 75 million subscriber mark. And they beat Justin Bieber. And on our side of the world, this sounds surprising because these are really big names. But then on the other side, you know, something bigger might even be happening.
I will say this. Just the fact that Justin Bieber has something like 75 million whatever is still surprising for a Gen Xer like me. But your point is well taken. Jangwon, do you have anything with dollars and cents for the industry?
So on Spotify, the most streamed music group isn't Beatles. It isn't Nirvana. It's not Bon Jovi. It's actually BTS with over 16.3 billion streams. And they also hold the record for most...
Whoa. Stop. Okay. Hold on a second. 16.3 billion?
Billion. It's not million.
That's like... Holy moly, that's three times more, or at least double the amount of people on Earth. Joel, have you ever streamed a BTS song?
I have. I'm blown away by how just viral the group is. And if you haven't never seen them, I mean, it's basically a boy band, and they took boy bands to like a whole nother level. Whatever you thought of the Beatles or Backstreet Boys at a certain era, like, it is insane how much more popular they are. But what's crazy to me, though, is, you know, what that BTS phenomenon, it's almost like it was the tip of the spear, and you've seen so much more. I guess the Gangnam Style was the tip of the spear, but what we're seeing is this robust industry. And Jingwan, so I want to bring that back to you, because when you put together the ETF, there was an index that you also had to create. How did you go about figuring out what to include in that index and what to exclude so that you could actually like have an investment thesis that could work in practice?
So how to define whether a company is a K-pop or a Korean entertainment company? Usually ETFs take a revenue based approach where if a certain theme generates over 50% of that company's revenue, then that company is automatically placed within the theme. But for K-pop and Korean entertainment, these revenues are difficult to meet out from a lot of noisy data. And for us, what we did was essentially pinpoint a company that's clearly a K-pop company, and it's indubitably a K-pop company. For instance, the management company, the record company behind BTS. Now that's indubitably a K-pop company. And what we would do is we would essentially pull some of the major keywords of these undoubtedly K-pop companies, and we compared to other companies within the industry. And if we figure out a certain level of similarity, and if the companies meet that standard, then we call that company our target and our theme within the whole K-pop or Korean entertainment definition.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc. This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents. People who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
And so I'm looking at the holdings here, JYP Entertainment, HYBE, Kakao. I obviously, these are all pretty foreign to me, but that's probably good because there are companies that are involved in this niche space, and I wouldn't know it
What's surprising to me is that they're even publicly traded.
Yeah, I guess how much, if you were to say, okay, you've got, 32 holdings, it's 100% weighting, what percent of that weight is directly linked to like K-pop sales, and how did you try to capture that?
So 70 to 80% of our constituents are Korean media entertainment companies, like the BTS company, Blackpink company, and so forth. The other 20 to 30 companies are tech infrastructure companies, companies that are comparable to the Apple Music, the Spotify of Korea. So they basically provide the infrastructure for music and content to prosper and be distributed. So essentially our 30 constituents cover music companies to drama companies and movie companies that have produced Emmy-winning series Squid Game and masterpiece Parasite, which also won a number of top awards last year. So they really do cover the whole breadth of Korean content that's going global.
It's interesting. I'm looking at the name of the fund. It's K-pop and Korean entertainment. So I guess my guess is maybe the SEC worked with you to expand the name a little so it was a little more accurate because some of the companies are Korean entertainment. But to your point, I have seen Squid Game and I have seen Parasite. They're both masterpieces in my opinion. And I've actually dabbled into some other South Korean stuff just because it seems to be so good. You know, we talked about Nirvana earlier. There was clearly something happening in Seattle when in the early 90s, right? It was an explosion of like entertainment value. It seems like Korea is in that spot, like where they're just something's happening there. Like why is all this art, both music and movies and TV shows? How is it all being produced out of such a small place? Like, is it feeding off each other? Like, is there some kind of, a scene there? Like, I'm just trying to figure this out a little bit because you're right. There's definitely a lot of things going on, quote, in the Korean entertainment area.
So this is more my personal view than a studied formal response. But personally, I think we can look at two main factors why Korean entertainment is seemingly suddenly booming. Number one, Korean domestic market for music is actually not small. One would consider from a global standpoint, Korea to be a relatively small country that's not generally well known globally, but it is even domestically, without excluding all the exports, all the K-pop sales that are being made on Spotify, excluding all that, just putting into perspective the domestic sales, domestic market size for music, Korea ranks number 6 in the world. It's behind the US, Japan, UK, France, and Germany, and then it's Korea. It's larger than China to this date. It's larger than Brazil or other countries. So domestically, Korea does have a big enough of a local market that would be a good foundation for a lot of content and a lot of talent to prosper. So that's number one. And simultaneously, I believe that Korean market, while it's quite big, it's not big enough, let's say, compared to Japan, which is number 2 in the world, to hold local companies satisfied with the kind of market size they can see within the country. So basically, if you are a Japanese music company, if you're a US-based record label, you would be happy with taking a bigger market share in your respective markets, in your respective languages. But for the top K-pop companies in Korea, while the market size isn't small, it's not big enough for these companies to be sufficiently growing consistently. So these companies have been continuously looking for overseas growth, global growth, rather than staying within the borders and being happy. They kept on knocking doors in Japan, in Southeast Asia, in Latin America, in the US, and Europe, and so forth. And they've been doing this for the last 10, 15 years. And you see the numbers that are popping up. It seems like sudden events out of nowhere, but it's an accumulated effort of time and energy that has been continuously spewing out of this small country in the last decade.
That's a great point. And you know, Eric, when you said earlier that you've never heard of these companies, I haven't also in a way, I just thought they're familiar because of my friends. But then when I looked at the market cap, they're almost as big as Apple. Like HYBE, and I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I think it's even bigger. JYP is just a million. When I say bigger, it's $3 billion. And JYP is like $1 billion. So these are huge. And to me, it just really reinforced that the world is so big. And that sometimes, because I report in the US market, I just really look at the US market. But then there's just a vast world out there with huge companies with huge potential, probably.
Right. HYBE now is in its $4 or $5 billion range. To my knowledge, Warner Music is at around $17 billion. Last year, that difference was much smaller when HYBE was up to $12-13 billion. So these are not small companies. The market caps are comparable to some of the top music companies globally.
So you launched at a tough time. This has been a brutal year. The fund immediately went down, but South Korea is down, the country as a whole. Like, you have this theme. I've seen other issuers deal with this. You have a theme. It's going to have a little more volatility than the sort of benchmark. So EWY would be the benchmark ticker there. It's the South Korea iShares ETF. You know, how do you market this thing in that environment? I'm sure it's difficult. How is that going? How are you to getting the story out and overcoming sort of the rougher environment for really all ETFs, but especially themes?
I don't think we are in the business of timing market peaks and troughs. We're truly long-term believers in the prospect of Korean businesses with exposure to K-pop and K-entertainment growth. And these are businesses with proven and sustainable IPs and business models and are long-term beneficiaries of Korean music and content, which is capturing a disproportionate share of the global growth. So like you mentioned, it's been a tough few weeks across all asset classes since K-pop ETF's inception on September 1st. But we do believe that content consumption, especially digital content consumption, which a lot of K-pop or Korean entertainment is based on, is relatively resilient across difficult and recessionary environments. And basically their longer term trends. So we ultimately believe that the underlying performance of the companies in our ETF will provide further momentum in attracting demand from a wider global investor universe. So we are doing all the interviews. We are doing what we can within this market. But in the end, I strongly believe that this is not a one-hit wonder. It's not a event, but it's a trend that will stick. So the fundamental growth of K-pop as a phenomenon and as a trend will be the long-term momentum, hopefully, for our ETF.
I've noticed that thematic ETFs, to Eric's point earlier, are really booming, but then they've become a lot narrower, I think, although more creative, as time passes by. What do you make of that, Jangwon? And like, who are you targeting? I don't know. To my head, it's very specific. It's like K-pop fans who believe in the firms. Is that it?
Yeah,
is
that's it more... a good question. Are you going to like advisors who manage money and you're trying to sell K-pop? Or are you going to like K-pop mega fans and explaining this is how you can invest in it?
Well, to be clear, we don't just believe that this will appeal only to these K-pop mega fans. We also believe that there are clear investment merits and rationale for obtaining exposure to Korean media and entertainment industry purely from an investment perspective. And therefore, K-pop ETF is designed not only for global fans, but also institutional and retail investors around the world. So we do believe that this is an independently investment worthy thesis, and these K-pop stocks from a long-term standpoint have been moving in such a direction. Companies like JYP, which have some of the top girl groups globally, they've grown substantially, more than 30x in the last 5 to 10 years. So these are companies that have shown continued growth in both their numbers and their in terms of their share price. So it's an independently reasonable and attractive investment thesis. However, initially our target is more towards the K-pop fans who we believe don't just want to consume the content but want to own part of that growth. So for now, we're not going to institutional investors and pitching the idea. We're much more focused on getting this idea out so that people know that we exist, that there is an exposure for them, the ability to gain an exposure into K-pop as a paradigm.
Okay, so I want to ask about what this paradigm could kind of look like, because I mean, we talked about BTS for a second, ridiculous numbers, like basically the most popular musical group in the planet, maybe the history of the planet. That's pretty good. You got Parasite, which Best Picture, Squid Game, which became just a total viral Netflix sensation. Tell me what this actually looks like in 5 years. Are we only going to be watching and consuming entertainment that comes from Korea? Like, how big can this get?
Well, another number. You would expect the top musician on YouTube with the most subscribers would be someone like Ed Sheeran or Justin Bieber. But it's actually Blackpink. Now, Blackpink might not appeal to all the generations and all the population. It definitely targets a specific age group, and also at the same time, it's not just targeting English speaking population. It's a much more globally dispersed fan base. So even if Blackpink is not known widely within certain groups in the US, they're very much widely known in the same age group globally. So that adds up to the 82.2 million subscribers on YouTube, which is the single highest number out of all the YouTube musicians there are on Earth. And Twitch related to K-pop, they were 5.1 million back in 2010. Now it's 7.5 billion in 2021. So the growth isn't fathomable. It's difficult to calculate from 5 million to 7.5 billion. It's growth that's comparable to like what was mentioned, video games or in some sense crypto. And in the future, Squid Game, they're producing their second season. It's in development. And we see new TV series that are produced in Korea and whose language is actually Korean. And they take top 10 most watched English TV series, both in US and globally on Netflix, nowadays daily. So we believe that we're just at the starting point where it's getting noticed, like back in the days when video games were being noticed as more than a subculture, right before it became a mainstream theme. I think Korean content is passing by that point of history where it's going past a subculture into a genre of its own that appeals not just to English using population, but Earth.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc. This podcast is brought to you by Invesco QQQ. What do all the greatest innovations have in common? Agents. People who participate in progress by supporting cutting-edge ideas. Invesco QQQ is a fund that allows you access to innovators of the NASDAQ 100 all in one fund. So you don't have to be an inventor to help create what's next to come. Anyone can become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. There are risks when investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETF risks are similar to those of stocks. Investments in the tech sector are subject to greater risk and more volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. You can't invest directly into an index. Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I want to ask for a sleeper recommendation. So we've talked about some real popular ones that have massive global followings. What's the one that's like the secret handshake that I should really know about that's going to make me seem super, super cool when I tell my kid?
There's a up-and-coming new girl group that was produced by the same record label that produced BTS. That girl group's name is New Jeans. So Jeans, they're new. New Jeans actually hit Billboard's top 200 in a week of its launch. So it's actually pretty well known, not just in Korea, but globally, but not as well known as BTS, which is more the trademark K-pop name. So if you told someone in their 20s, in their teens, that you listen to New Jeans, now that's something that will get their attention. And their song, their main song, is actually called Attention, so it's fitting.
All right, I will file that away. My kid's into auto-tuned hip-hop, but maybe he'll know it.
How was the reception? Did you get a lot of haters, fans? What did people say?
K-pop ETF has been received pretty well, to my knowledge, in the whole K-pop fandom sphere, and also locally. I see K-pop companies, and they all know that K-pop ETF got listed, that we were the ones that accomplished it, and so forth. And a lot of these K-pop companies are actually quite thankful for us, in that we have provided them as the K-pop companies a way to indirectly interact with global K-pop fans who now have a way to invest in them. So I think it was pretty well received both industry-wise and K-pop fandom-wise. However, it still does feel quite early in our stage. Our AUM isn't booming since inception. Our numbers are definitely down. A lot of ETFs are down, so we don't think we're unique in this. But had we listed at a better time, or from a longer standpoint, we hope to gain more popularity, not just from an industry point of view, but as an investment vehicle for global investors.
Jingwan, I want to ask you one final question, which we ask a lot of folks on Trillions, which is, what is your favorite ETF ticker other than your own? And I have to tell you, K-pop is an epic ticker. I mean, you nailed it. So you know, I know that you should take credit for that. But if you were gonna give anybody else some props, who else would you say?
It's difficult to choose, and I would say nothing really beats K-pop. But I would say Roundhill Metaverse ETF ticker, which is, I think, to my knowledge, METV. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty obviously a Metaverse ticker. So I think that worked out pretty well. Yeah, I think that comes to mind.
All right. Jingwan, Isabel, thank you so much for joining us on Trillions.
Thanks a lot, Joel. Thanks a lot, Eric, and most of all, Isabel.
Thanks for listening to Trillions. Until next time, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you like to listen. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter. I'm at Joel Weber Show. He's at Eric Balchunas. This episode of Trillions was produced by Magnus Hendrickson. Bye.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to help realize a mission to Mars. Become an agent of innovation with Invesco QQQ. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.